Welcome to the inaugural edition of Insurance Requirements. I'm your host, Andrew Correll. To some, insurance is just another expense, an afterthought. You buy it when you need it and don't give it much thought outside of securing the certificate. My guest today believes insurance is an integral part of protecting your business. His name is Sage Clements. He's a business owner in the IT services industry and an insurance underwriter. In fact, in my first underwriting gig, my desk was two away from his. Sage shares with us the three questions to ask an insurance agent before choosing one, as well as what to look for in an insurance policy. Hint, it's not the cheapest option. We then uncover the most important components to look for in a technology errors and omissions and cyber liability policy. And finally, we end the show with the discussion of Hollywood's depiction of the cybersecurity industry. Fortunately, you can't hack a power grid in 30 seconds. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast and check out our show notes at howyouinsurethat.com. But before we get to the conversation, some housekeeping items. Apparently, podcasting's hard. My end of the conversation wasn't recorded very well, but I learned that it's okay to get closer to the mic. Love the mic, they say. It won't bite you. Sage Clements, welcome to the show. Inaugural episode of Insurance Requirements. I appreciate you joining me.
Anytime, brother.
Sage, you've got an interesting background. We talk about this podcast, you know, kind of sitting at the intersection of insurance and entrepreneurship. And that's exactly where you're at, man. Not only are you, a business owner, a successful blogger with Sage Knows IT, but you're also a technology insurance underwriter. For one of the vanguards of the insurance industry. So kind of tell me more about how you got to where you're at.
Yeah, man. I had a pretty interesting road. I started out of college. I had a full scholarship for networking. Networking was never really in my blood, just to say. Like, it just wasn't appealing to me. So I ended up going into finance, went into banking, was 10 or 15 years doing banking for one of the Fortune 500 companies until we had that downturn in 2008 and had to pivot, man, change my way of life, so to speak. Had a baby on the way, and from there, I decided to seek an opportunity in insurance, and lo and behold, they had a position for technology and life science underwriter, so I decided to give that a shot, and felt it, from a skill set perspective, I'd bring a little bit something different to the table, and and from there, started another 13 years in doing underwriting, to which I do to this day. That's kind of how I went. But somewhere down that path, though, I had that itch to be a to get back to my tech roots. So I decided to do a one-off side job in doing computer repairs for some small businesses and then also for some commercial or residential clients, rather. And that's kind of been my stick, for the past 13 years, is a little bit of everything here and there to kind of supplement, my normal 9-to-5.
Yeah. So tell me more about that itch. You have a good thing going in insurance, but your technology roots came calling. What was it? What was that kind of that moment where you're like, I want something more, I want to kind of explore this path.
Yeah. So I think what it was is, at first it started out with just, everyone knew me at work as the tech guy. And in retrospect, I think about it, and that's kind of always been my whole thing, is everyone has always known me as the tech guy. Done pretty much everything. I started out programming at an early age, and then it got into break fix and computer virus, removing computer viruses. But then something kind of happened, like in 2012. I actually went to my first information security or InfoSec conference here in town, and it was just like a complete explosion, like in terms of like a different field of technology and computing. You know, information security was literally born sometime around there, at least, you know, in a wider sense. And I decided that I wanted to start my own company, but kind of mold it in that aspect of it to, you know, kind of not just help, you know, small residential customers understand the importance of, you know, practicing good, you know, good internet habits, I should say. But also to kind of help protect the small business owners who I feel like are underserved tremendously, especially when it comes from the tech perspective. So I wanted to just kind of, you know, mold a business based off of those types of risk characteristics. And that's kind of where Sage's Computer Repair kind of was born, you know, out of those ashes. And it's kind of it's kind of evolved over the time as well as I'm getting more and more deeper into the InfoSec world. But yeah, I mean, that's basically where it started, and I've never looked back since. So it's just been an interesting journey.
Speaking of that journey, you know, when you got into, you know, being a small business owner, you know, at what point did you kind of have that moment where you're like, you know, I think I'm onto something here more than, you know, maybe just a side project, that this was going to be a viable business? At what point in time was that, and kind of how did that feel and look like?
Yeah, I would say it was probably around year three when I started to get more commercial clients. It seemed to be a more of a lucrative deal. I know that we were going through, and I might have the time frames off by a year or so, but we were going through the whole Windows 7's going out of commission, and we're all transitioning to Windows 10 environments, kind of thing, the end of life kind of things. And more companies, small companies were, you know, especially like in the medical field, were asking for help in transitioning systems to this new platform, Windows 10. And I knew, like, from that perspective, that there was just so much more we could offer than just, you know, computer repairs and upgrades and things like that. You know, especially in the medical field, like, you have the whole HIPAA, high tech you have to worry about. And as a business owner that's handling HIPAA, people who are subject to HIPAA, you yourself have to be HIPAA compliant as well. I think that was kind of my aha moment, that hey, I need to start taking this a little bit more seriously instead of just one-offs, and really start diving into like diversifying my portfolio of services that I offer.
So you talk about the need of the healthcare community and other commercial entities. You talk about HIPAA compliance and high tech. You know, those are things that we see in the insurance industry as triggers for, you know, hey, maybe this is about the time that you want to seek business insurance. So did you have that same experience, you know, as you're starting to get those bigger clients, especially on the commercial side? Did the contracts that you're entering into start requiring you to carry insurance?
Most of them didn't for small businesses, to be honest with you. It's not really, and this is just in my experience, a lot of those businesses don't ask for it unless they have a conversation with someone else within the industry, or maybe the legal advisors that require them. Most of the time, it's the big companies that are requiring, you know, the insurance requirements per se. But being an underwriter, you know, I got to throw that in there. You know, you can't be bare, you can't be naked, man. You got to practice what you preach. And I always say, you know, if you're going to sell somebody something, it's important that you believe in what it is that you're selling in, and insurance is no different. So as insurance is, you know, in the tech world, we consider insurance risk transference, right? And it's part of managing your business. Like, regardless of whether or not your client is requiring that you carry it, it's important as a risk management perspective to say, hey, am I okay to take on this whole responsibility or myself, or should I seek help if things get out of control? And as a small business myself, dealing with, you know, personal identifiable and health records, it's not just, and this is just my perspective, it's not just my client that I have to worry about. Because if that information gets out, right, let's be honest, the customer, once they get wind of it, they're going to try to get their piece of the pie as well. So yeah, insurance has always been top of mind since I've started the business. I don't believe in going bare, regardless of how you feel as a techie. You know, we get into the mindset that we know everything and that
nothing can fail.
Nothing can fail. We're perfect. And, you know, and as great as that sounds, you know, the reality of the situation is we see claims all the time that say otherwise. So, you know, it's important. It's important for my business, and it's part of my business model as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. So being it as important it is to you, you know, as a business owner, as an underwriter, do you see that coming through in the types of clients that you're securing? Like, does the fact that your stance and your posture around risk management, do you think that gives you a leg up, you know, getting those types of clients to show them that you're serious, that you're really going the extra mile to protect your business and theirs?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, the insurance usually comes up, you know, at the very end when you're dotting the I's and the T's and whatnot. And sometimes you got to be careful too, because especially like as a small business owner, sometimes you'll get into these contracts where they don't want to remit payment until you show that you have, you know, insurance in place. And then you're kind of scrambling at the last minute to get insurance. And then you got to go into the whole backdating, and that's never really a good sign. But yeah, you know, ultimately, I think it does give us a leg up in the sense that it provides the customer with a sense of comfort that they know that a reputable company is behind you if should something go wrong. And it adds added pressure on me as a business owner to perform, you know, 100%. And give everything to it, because if not, you know, then that's going to reflect negatively on my insurance premiums, right? I might be in a situation where I need to go to a surplus carrier because no one on the standard line or standard market wants to insure me. So as a business owner, I have to take that serious as well. And I do, you know, I think that it just speaks volumes of how you carry yourself as a risk manager, as part of your title as CEO or president of your company.
That's awesome. That's really great insight. So you've got some interesting and unique experience in that, you know, you're a business owner and an underwriter, right? So you have a really good idea of, you know, how the insurance market works, how you access it, you know, how you gain representation through an insurance agent. But for folks out there who do not have that kind of expertise, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, how you access the insurance market to get your insurance. Did you go through an insurance agent? Did you go direct? How did that work?
Yeah. So I gotta be careful how I word this because, you know, so full disclosure, if you guys haven't gotten this already, right, I do work for an insurance company. For me, I went with an agent that I knew locally in town, and I always recommend as a professional, I recommend that when you're seeking insurance that you try to find representation through an agency, not necessarily going direct through the carrier itself or the insurance carrier. Again, this is just my personal belief. Because should something go wrong, or you're not happy or not satisfied, it's a lot more difficult to find a way to get out of the contract of the insurance and find something that's a little bit more your style than if you have someone who represents you to do that on your behalf. So this is kind of one of those things where, you know, I can be my own bookkeeper or I can hire a bookkeeper to do it myself if things get rough. So I decided to do, you know, the latter of the two.
Awesome. So what kind of value did you find just over and above, you know, accessing markets you may not have known about or having somebody help you? What other value was provided working with an insurance agent?
Yeah, so specifically for insurance agent, I like the ability to ask for them to give me a copy of the carrier's coverage forms. For me, that's really where the value is. You know, they can tell you everything until it's blue in the face of what someone provides and what they don't provide. But unless you actually see it in writing, it doesn't really mean anything, in my opinion. I like to pay attention to what the forms don't cover so that I can kind of see where exactly that aligns with my businesses and also compare that to other businesses as well.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. So how did you make that decision? Like the insurance company that you ended up going with, how did you come to that conclusion? You know, kind of what were some of your thought process that led you to that decision?
Yeah, certainly. So it's going to sound silly, but one of the most important things to me is the way that a coverage form defines the definition for terrorism, as well as where exactly it is that they're covering. So I'll take terrorism for an example and tell you why it's important to me specifically. So, you know, as technology is growing and, you know, things are getting more chaotic in the world right now, you have got a lot of opportunists. You know, you have hacktivists, people who do hacking for political or personal gain. You have threat actors or state-sponsored actors who hack on behalf of other countries and other nations. And some coverage forms will treat them very differently. So some coverage forms will say, hey, we're only going to cover you if Mother Russia comes and decides to hack your servers or do denial service that doesn't allow you to access your resources. Anything that's outside of that is fair game, and we're not going to cover that. Well, we know that 9 out of 10 times, most of those countries don't do it themselves. At least, you know, they use proxies, and then there's also the real threat of, you know, APTs or advanced persistent threat actors. They're like hacking groups that do a lot of that themselves, and they can be equally devastating to to the way that you do business, right? Take the Lizard Group or whatnot with the Sony attack a few years back on Christmas, where no one could be able to access that. Like, that wouldn't have been covered under the coverage form that I have now. So it's, you know, that to me, that's important. And then the second is, you know, exactly where you're, you know, where it's covering you. If it's just covering in the U.S., that means that anyone that does something outside the U.S. May not be covered, like from an expanded peril perspective, like the network security, the media liability, or the privacy liability, if, you know, a third party comes in and does something. But equally, if you're doing business outside of the U.S. as well, or the product or service that you're providing is outside of the U.S. or is utilized outside of the U.S. and there's an injury or financial injury that's associated with it, if you don't have that universal coverage in place, you know, you're going to be defending those claims on your own as well. So I didn't want to have to deal with that. Most of the other coverages are pretty similar in nature, but that's where I see the most differences in those two services.
Gotcha. So you're saying for your business, in the technology services space, the technology errors and omissions policy, coupled with the cyber liability policy, really drove your decision making with where you chose to go.
Correct. I'm sorry, awesome. I didn't qualify that earlier. I always forget your audience, man. I'm sorry about that.
It's all good. I knew where you were going, but I wanted to clarify that because you bring up a good point. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, if you're not working with an agency or an insurance company who specializes in technology, you know, different kind of companies face different kind of threats, right? Yep. And technology companies are very unique, and they have a unique set of threats because they're a professional services provider, but also the type of work that they're doing. So it sounds like you know, it's very important to work with somebody who understands that and can represent you adequately.
Yeah, I completely agree with that because I think that especially in the tech world, and I believe I could say this pretty definitively, having gone to so many conferences and heard so many comments about insurance that I've kind of stayed silent on. But there's a big misconception of what exactly cyber liability is versus technology errors and omissions when it comes to tech companies specifically. I think that they get into the mindset of, or as techies kind of get into the mindset of, you know, oh, it's just going to cover us if there's a hacking event on our servers. And that's not indeed the case, right? And that's having that differentiate, and we can have that. It's a whole nother discussion that we can have because, you know, I'm passionate about it. But, you know, that's the reason why an agent is so important. Is they should be able to help differentiate between the two. And if they're not able to, then they should be able to get you to an underwriter that can help you understand that even more. So you have to have that representation. And again, that's a big reason as to why I advocate for having an agency involved during your insurance buying processes. Procedures.
Absolutely. Time frame. No, and so you bring up a good point there, you know, for the audience, what are some pieces of advice that you can give them when they're first looking for representation for their insurance? What types of questions should they be asking to understand what type of agent they are, what their expertise level is, and things of that nature?
Yeah, so my very first rule is don't be a window shopper at all. And by that, I mean, don't focus on the price. Like, the price should be the very last thing that you worry about. What you need to understand and what you need to have your agency understand is, or the agent that you decide to go with is, you know, what is this coverage? How does it pertain to my business? And can you give me some real life claim examples that will help me understand how this will impact me? Now, if the agent can't give you those three things, they might not be the best fit for you, but they should definitively be able to get you those three answers. And if not, be able to find someone that can. Because even if they don't have the answers, which I'll give that credit to, you know, a lot of the agencies are very, they need assistance when it comes to tech. And I say that respectively, but that's why they should reach out to their underwriters, and you should have that pathway available to you. And that will also show you the level of engagement and trust that they have with their underwriter to service your needs. Because at the end of the day, if you don't understand, you as a business owner has to understand that. That's the only person in those three parties that has to understand it itself. Those, you know, that coverage and how it pertains to your business, because you are the decision maker should something ultimately go wrong. So you want to make sure that they're considered to be a trusted advisor. So I would start there with the coverages itself. If they give you 5 different options, try to deal it down to 3. I got carrier A, I got carrier B, I got carrier 3. bring it down to three and tell me where each one of them excel and which one of them aren't. And again, price is good, right? But keep it at the very last thing, because you may get more coverage and get charged more, which will leave you less bare than going with the smallest one and not be protected for anything. We've seen it happen. I mean, Drew and I could tell you the stories. I
mean, yes, indeed. I
mean, and that ultimately, that's it. Coverage is the key, right? Trusted advisor with claim scenarios, right? And then focus on pricing as your last thing if you need to. So
that's great advice. So on the flip side, we've given some really good advice to the founders and the decision makers at these startups and technology services companies. Mm-hmm. But what about on the flip side for the agents? What's some insight that you can provide them as a business owner for how to better work and get on the same page as technology companies?
Yeah, so this is what I say. If you want to be successful in targeting tech companies as an agency, you got to go where the fish are, you know, and you can't be scared to do it, right? One of the things that I always recommend to my agencies when I speak to them to get more comfortable with it is to consider sponsoring one of the tech events. Offline, Drew and I were talking about some conferences that I go to on an annual basis, and a couple of them that just went to 2 weeks ago virtually. And there's no shortage of requests for sponsors. And they love when sponsors can come in and can kind of speak to their audience, whether it's speaking engagements, right? You can be a guest speaker, you can talk about insurance specific to tech companies. You can talk about cyber liability, because that's definitely a hot topic, and just kind of get the feel, the networking, and get an understanding of them. So with tech, like, if you can get in and have those discussions and those networkings and you land a customer, like, half of your work is already done. I would even say like 70% of your work is already done, because us techies, like, we're notorious for sharing best practices. And if you as an agent have done right by us, we're going to go tell our friends. And then their friends are going to come to you. And then their friends are going to come to you. And it just becomes a revolving door. So just be where they are. That first and foremost, be where they are. Sponsor. Go to talking engagements. I know that right now with COVID going on, and it's difficult to do in-person things, but there's... tech is very notorious for adapting to adversity, and doing virtual conferences has helped. And we've seen, like, I've seen sponsors have their own rooms and are engaging with people that are there. So there's a lot of opportunity there. You just gotta be willing to go out and look for it.
That's awesome, man. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask a few just kind of random questions to you.
Icebreakers? We're doing icebreakers?
Yeah, man. We're doing icebreakers at the end. You know, we're getting innovative over here. All right, Drew. Requirements.
What you got, brother? What you got?
All right, man. So technology has been a big part of our conversation today. Yeah. What's the technology innovation that's had the biggest impact on your life?
Oh, man, the internet. I have been fortunate enough to live where the most advancements in technology period have happened. I was born in the era where color television was a mainstream, and we were still using boom boxes. From the boom boxes, we went to portable Walkmans, to CD players, to DVDs, to gaming systems, the PlayStation 2, and then we had AOL dial-up in between there, and then the explosion of broadband, which I guess that would go hand in hand with the internet, but AOL, broadband, internet, to me, it's just changed our whole way of life, and I'm definitely here for it. It's definitely had the most impact on my life, both professionally as well as personally, and for better or worse, I think that's probably the greatest invention since sliced bread.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's done a lot of good for us.
Yeah.
So I know this is probably gonna spark some really good conversation, but what does Hollywood get wrong about the cybersecurity industry?
Oh man.
We could start with Swordfish.
Go. Oh yeah. Oh, I gotta keep a PG. I would say like there's so many pet peeves I could have. I guess the emphasizing on tapping three buttons on a keyboard and shutting down the power grid is kind of like the biggest pet peeve of mine, because there's so much more than in a command line interface than just pressing like three buttons and shutting down stuff. I mean, we ain't even talking about like any of the kill chains. We're not talking about none of the recognizance or the vulnerability analysis or none of that is happening. No elevated privileges. It's just tap, 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 tap. I'm in. Let's shut down the grid. Boom. All in 50 seconds. Come on, man.
Hey, they got time restraints, man. You know, those movies can't be 8 hours.
Show me where the back door is. Show me where the rootkit was installed. Where's the payload, bro? I don't see no payload. Nothing like that, man. No.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Yeah, we could probably have another episode just about that.
Shoot, let's go, bro. Let's go.
We'll go on to your YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be a guest over there. That's right.
So Stage, I appreciate it. This has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. Where can people go to find more out about your work?
Yeah, right now I am the most active on Twitter as well as my blog. I'd probably just direct you to my blog because everything's connected there. So www.sageknowsit.com, just like it sounds. Sage Knows IT, information technology. Get it? No. You can find me there. Say hi, drop a comment. Got a lot of great material there for small business owners, as well as aspiring tech people. That's kind of my thing, trying to get more people into the information security world by sharing my experiences that I've gone through. I think that's the Sage thing to do, you know?
Yes, indeed. Well, Sage Clements, thank you so much for joining the show today. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime, my brother.
That does it for another edition of Insurance Requirements. If you haven't already, check out our website, howyouinsurethat.com, where you'll find episode archives, as well as our blog where we tackle different insurance topics from today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, pass it along to a friend or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, I'm your host, Andrew Correll.